I thank God for the life of three mothers in my life. My life is a product of the spirituality of three mothers. My mother, who spared my life when I was 4 months old in her womb. According to my mother, when I was 4 months old, there were two neighbors who were tempting my mother to abort me. But because my mother feared the Lord, she has given me the opportunity to live and to see this beautiful universe. And so every time my mother see me, she never stopped thanking God, because among the seven of her children, I became the pastor. I thank God also for my grandmother who, when I was 8 years old, she taught me to read the Word of God. And from then, I was so in love with the Word of God, I discovered my calling when I was 16 years old and I became a pastor and a church planter in the Philippines. But I thank God for Leonor Esperanza, for those of you who are first or second generations of Pentecostals in the Philippines, you might know Leonor Esperanza. Leonor Esperanza is the wife of the first general superintendent of the Assemblies of God in the Philippines. When I met her in Bible school in 1987, I was really attracted to the spirituality of Sister Leonor, that she taught me about our spiritual heritage, and that was the reason why. It was very, very early when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I was very passionate in sharing Jesus. So I thank God for the mothers, for the life of the mothers. And so this morning, I want to speak to you about mothers, because mothers are representative of God here on earth. Amen? So if you have your Bible, will you please open in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. The title of my message this morning is Exercising Faith in the Marketplace, God's Overflowing Blessing Reaches You. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. Shall we all arise, brothers and sisters, and read this passage? The servant of men from the company of prophet cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slave." Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a little oil." Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." She left him and afterward shut the door behind her and her sons, and they brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." Our Heavenly Father, we thank you because you have planted this church to represent your kingdom in this city, O God. You want this church to be a practical expression of Jesus Christ to the poor, to the widows, to the orphans, to the mothers, to our grandmothers, to the stepmothers, oh God. And God, I pray that let your word be placed in our hearts, and let your word, God, stir up our faith. Let your word, God, will transform us to become a better witnesses in our society. And I pray, oh God, that this morning you will raise up an army of spirit-filled witnesses that become witnesses in our society, oh God. Father, bless your words and may your name be praised and be glorified. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise and you may be seated, brothers and sisters. Let me start this message with a story about three seminarians who were talking about the best version of the Bible. The one seminarian said, well, I like the King James version because this is the first English version of the Bible. And the other one said, well, I like the NIV because the NIV is very close to the original manuscript. And the two said to the other guy, how about you? What is your favorite version of the Bible? And the third seminarian said, well, I like the version of my mom, my mother. And the two were surprised. And so they asked, you mean your mom is a scholar and a translator of the Bible? And he said, no. My mom did not even finish her high school. But when she read the scripture, she translated it into her actions. So for me, my mom is the living Bible, the walking Bible. Amen? This morning, I want to ask these important questions, brothers and sisters. What is the attitude of God when mothers are in crisis? What is the attitude of God when we are at the end of the rope? When we need Jesus desperately? Someone said that debt, utang in Tagalog, is the most pressing issue that mothers are facing in the 21st century. Look at, for instance, the article that I received last Thursday. Nowadays, there are $19 trillion U.S. dollars debt of the American people. And every single American, including children, owe $61,217. That's the reality from the macro level, brothers and sisters. But if you look at the micro level of debt, there is an increasing number of layoffs in unemployment. There is a threat to foreclosure of our houses. I met some of them in Vallejo, California, and in Stockton this last month. There is that fear of repossessing the car that we have, that we own, because of that debt that we have. So debt is one of the issues or major issue that mothers are facing today. But my question is, what is the attitude of God when we are in crisis economically, brothers and sisters? From this passage that we have read, there are three important lessons that we can learn from this mother. There are three important lessons that we can learn from this mother who approached the prophet of God with brokenness. The first one, brothers and sisters, is that when mothers cry, it moves, it touches the heart of God. When you cry, the heart of God. Amen? Some scholars said that the problem of this mother is, first of all, that her husband died. And when her husband died, he left her with a credit. So she has debt. She's running out of resources, economic resources, financial resources. And because she was in debt, then there is despair in the home. There is despair and hopelessness in the home. And so when she approached Elijah with brokenness, it touched the heart of God, brothers and sisters. I do not know if you have observed about the cry of a baby cow and a mother cow. I've been a farmer for many, many years, and I'm always in the field when I was elementary and high school. And so I observed this young carabao and young cow when they cry. You know, when the baby cow will cry, he will cry like this. Ma, right? To get the attention of the mother cow. But if the mother cow will not respond, the mother cow must respond when the baby cow will cry. But if the mother cow will not respond, then he will intensify his cry. Ma! But if he cannot hear, if he cannot hear any reply from his mom, then that's the time that he will cry like this. Ma! Like that. So the mother cow will cry, ma! To show that his presence was there. This was the cry of Bartimaeus when Jesus was passing. You know that Jesus will face death at that time. This was the last time that he was visiting Jericho. And when Jesus was passing Jericho like that, and Bartimaeus the blind heard that Jesus was passing along that way, he cried, "Jesus, Son of David." But because there was so much noise, and the disciples don't like Bartimaeus to approach Jesus. So the Mark chapter 10 said that he cried all the more, "Jesus, Jesus," until he got the attention of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, let us remember that God is the Father of the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God, and his dwelling is holy dwellings. The Lord watches over and sustain the fatherless and the widow. In James chapter 1, verse 27 says, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress. When I was 8 years old, my father died, and I was very, very angry to God. I was very, very angry to God because we were 7 in the family. I was literally begging bread in the streets during that time just to survive. Sometimes I steal money from the neighborhood just to survive. So I challenged God at my early life. Why you took my father? Why you took my father? I asked those questions to God. If you are there, come down and let's have a fight. That was my cry, even when I was 8 or 9 years old. And God heard my cry. He heard my challenge, and he sent a mother, an ordinary mother, in our Assemblies of God church in Rojas, Isabela, who approached my mother, and she said, this old mother said to my mother, "Celia, why don't you bring your 3 children and we will help you to become a member of the Compassion International?" That was the time that we became member of the Assemblies of God because of Compassion International, and I became a Christian. And then God has broken me. God has given me the heart for the poor. And so, even if I'm serving as a missionary professor in Baguio City, I'm feeding children in Baguio City. We're doing community projects for the unemployed and the mothers in the slum area. Mothers, brothers and sisters, I want you to know that God knows your deepest need. He knows your deepest cry. He knows your economic struggles. He knows your debts. He knows you. He knows you by name. He knows you. He knows you. The second lesson that we can learn about mothers from this passage, brothers and sisters, don't you know that when mothers tell their concern, God intervenes? Amen? When mothers tell their concern, God intervenes. Look at the interaction of the prophet and this mother. So after she cried, then Elisha said, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" Now, these two questions, brothers and sisters, are two questions of authentic involvement. The question, "How can I help you?" indicates that God wants to participate in the flesh and blood struggle of His people. So He knows your pressing needs and He wants to be engaged. He wants to participate. And when Elisha asks, "What do you have in your house?" this is a question of discernment. This is a question of discernment. He wants to use whatever resources out there, whether it is small or big. God wants to use those small things as an entry point for you to experience God's miracle in your life. Amen? Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8 said, "Ask and it shall be given unto you. Knock and you shall be opened. Seek and ye shall find. For everyone who asks, receive. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open." Amen? Have you heard about the story of the pastor who made the Carabao cry? I'm sorry for telling you a Filipino story. But one day, this pastor was so down, frustrated, and disappointed, and he went out from his house, went to the plaza, and it was happened that when he was in the plaza, there was a competition. And the competition was to make the Carabao cry. So it was, he was accepted as the third contestant. You know, the first contestant put a salt in the eyes of the Carabao, but the Carabao did not cry. The second contestant, you know, put a calamansi in the eyes of the Carabao, but the Carabao did not cry. But this pastor, can you imagine, you know, he went to the ears of the Carabao and he just whispered one sentence. And then the Carabao cried so deeply, like that. And the people were surprised. And so the pastor won about 5,000 pesos. You know the story, right? No, you don't know. So, he won 5,000 pesos. But there was a second part of that competition. The competition was to make the Carabao run. And it was happened that the pastor was became the third contestant again. The first contestant hit the hip of the Carabao, but the Carabao did not run. The other one, you know, hit the knee. But the Carabao did not run. This pastor, the same formula, the same approach. He went to the ears of the Carabao. He whispered one word. Then the Carabao ran and he never returned. And so the MC said, "Before we give you this other 5,000 pesos, can you please give us the secret?" And the pastor said, "Well, the first time that I whispered the Carabao, I just told the Carabao how much offering I am receiving from the church I am pastoring," and he cried. And why? Why you were able to make the Carabao run? Well, I just told him that if it is okay for him to just pastor the church that I am pastoring, and so he ran and he never returned back. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise, brothers and sisters. When you have problems, when you have concern in life, don't go to the carabao. Don't go to the people. Approach God with brokenness. Approach God in prayer. Because God is listening. He said, "Call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you have not known." Amen? Amen. Call on God because He is listening in your prayers. The third lesson that we can learn from this passage, brothers and sisters, is that don't you know that when mothers obey God, obey the voice of God, God uses their little oil to overflow. Amen? This little oil, according to Bible scholars, is used as for anointing. And so Prophet Elisha said, "Go and pour out that small oil that you have." And she obeyed exactly the instruction of the prophets. And so when she started pouring, then that was the time that the miracle started flowing. She started with brokenness, but because of her obedience, she experienced God's overflowing blessing. She started with brokenness, but that brokenness turned out to become her greatest miracle, brothers and sisters. Perhaps you have only small oil. For the pastors, they might feel that they just have small anointing in their lives. For my fellow pastors today, let me encourage you that if you are experiencing some burnout and depressions, God knows you and He wants you to experience that fullness of His anointing. But that oil might indicate or might represent your economic resources that you have. The need is so great, but the resources is so small. But you have to equate that to our God who is so big, who is able to do the immeasurable, the impossible, brothers and sisters. Her greatest pain turned out to become her greatest miracle. Because God is great. God is awesome. God can do the impossible things. And before I close this message, this was our experience as a family in 2009. In 2009, while I was pastoring in Balungaw, Pangasinan, I experienced a series of strokes. I came to a point that I cannot speak, nor I cannot walk anymore. And I have a lot of complaints to God. I have a lot of sentiments when I experienced the most painful experience in my life. I told God, "God, I've been serving you for 21 years in this small barangay. How come that this happened to me? I do not understand the situations of that, especially for my wife." There was a time that the pastors came. The time that before they rushed me again to the hospital, the pastors came and they surrounded me thinking that I will be dying. And my wife cried. She cried like this woman. She cried. I heard her cry. "Oh God, will you please spare the life of my husband? We are just alien here and we do not have resources.
Oh God, will you please heal my husband? And I heard that cry. That cry. Now, I don't need to prolong my story, but what happened was, while we were praying, brothers and sisters, I felt the presence of God who clothed my whole being. And that power that hit me, I believe that it became a therapy to my whole body. Of course, it came through a process, brothers and sisters. But look at me today. Huh? I am healed and I am whole. When I was in Berkeley University and in London Metropolitan University years ago, I met this fellow colleague in the academia who believed that the universe is a closed universe, that there can be no possibility for a supernatural to enter in our cosmos because our universe is a product of the natural law. I reject and I do not subscribe to those beliefs because you can argue with me with religious doctrine, brothers and sisters, but you cannot argue with me with miracle because in 2009, I experienced his very presence that healed my body. And he did not only heal me. He did not only heal me, but he brought me to 18 nations preaching his word. Is it not a miracle? You have been stroked for 5 times, but then the Lord has healed you and he brought you to many nations preaching his word. Amen? God is great and God is awesome. He knows you. He knows your cry. He knows those economic struggles, financial struggles that you are facing, whether you are in debt or not. He knows you. And when you tell him your cry, when you tell him your prayers today and obey the word of God that he revealed to your heart, then that will become an entry point for you to experience his miracle, brothers and sisters. Will you please rise up and may I call our worship team to please come.